All right, tonight, if you would, in the New Testament, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 13, and we'll read on into chapter number 4 through verse 4. I am forever thankful that we have chapter divisions and verse divisions in our text, but sometimes we let those divisions help us to lose content and context of what's being said, and you have to sort of put it together. And these chapter divisions and verses were put in just as a help for you and I to be able to find things as we look for it. And but sometimes we think when you get to the end of the chapter, that's the end of the thought. But many times it is not the end, but it continues on into the next chapter. And so tonight we're going to begin in chapter 3, and we'll finish up reading in chapter number 4 because the thought continues. Look with me in verse number 13 of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Rightly dividing the word of truth, I believe, is very, very important as we study the word of God. And biblical interpretation is very important for the believer. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that scripture is given by inspiration. And so therefore we understand, we know by the word of God that what we have is God-breathed or inspired of the Lord, and it has some effects upon us. As we have the word of God, it is very profitable for us. As we read, as we study, we have profit in our life. We learn how to do certain things. We learn how not to do certain things because of the scripture. So it's profitable for doctrine, for what we believe. What we believe tonight, we better be able to find it in the Word of God. What we say we have as our doctrine, it ought not to be something that we pull out of the air from somewhere or from some other person's writing. Many of your cults, most of the cults, have writings from individuals that were the beginner or the organizer of that particular group. And their writings are considered just as important as the Word of God. And of course, we know they're not inspired. So the inspired Scripture is good for us. It's profitable for us in doctrine. Now, in doctrine, it will reprove us. It will correct us. And certainly, it will instruct us in righteousness. So this one verse tonight tells us so much of what is important for us as a believer. And those things is that the man of God, or the person of the God of heaven, would be perfect. That word perfect just means mature, fully equipped, everything available to them that they might be able to rightly divide the word of God, that they would have been furnished and be able to do the good works that God has for us. And so in these verses tonight that we read, that's the foundation. And because of that, and really chapter number 3 gives us the condition of the world as we grow closer to the coming of Christ. Chapter 3 tells us of the apostasy that's upon us, people departing from the truth. And, of course, then the truth is given to us as the inspired Word of God. Now, verse number 1 of chapter 4, you could just use those first four words, "I charge thee, therefore." When I was in college, and everybody, I've heard this probably, and you've heard it hundreds of times, when you see the word "therefore," you look and see what it's there for. And it is usually a reference back to what has already been stated or what has already been said. And so because of the condition of the world, because of the condition of men's hearts, and there's a multitude of sins that are listed here in the first few verses of chapter 3, that they're ever coming to knowledge, but ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. And because we have come to that point, we are to therefore, the Scripture says, preach the word. And so tonight I want us to deal with that little word, therefore. It's there for a reason. It refers us back to what has just been said. As wickedness permeates our society, and I don't think we have to debate that question. All you have to do is go outside. All you have to do is go to Walmart. All you have to do is turn on the TV. All you have to do is turn on the radio. All you have to do is listen to news commentators. All you have to do is listen to so-called comedians, and you'll find that our society has been permeated by wickedness. Everywhere you look, everything you see and hear. Worldliness, as far as people are concerned, apathy, and those are two things that's always been great enemies of the Lord's church, of just not having a real care, sort of apathetic to what's going on. Well, I can't do much about it, so why try? And if we're not careful, we all get in that state of mind. Why should I say anything nobody else does? That's a part of apathy. That's a part of what comes upon us when we see the condition that our society is in. And then there comes from that deception and false doctrine. So therefore, the Word of God is the inspired message of the Lord, and it's profitable. And so what Paul tells Timothy here in chapter 4, to preach the word, you cannot preach the word unless you have an inspired word to preach. You can't just pull out from nowhere things and it be true and right and would do people any good at all. So chapter 3 describes the apostasy and the sin of our world. Chapter 4 describes our times of what's taking place because of what has happened or what is happening before us. And so chapter 4 describes most people in the last days before Jesus comes. And it describes a lot of churches. You get to the book of Revelation, you have the church of Laodicea that is a representative church of that church that is standing when Jesus comes. And it's apathetic. It's neither hot nor cold. It doesn't have any... that's the only church, I believe, that is listed there in those seven churches that the Lord has nothing good to say about that church. But we must remember it's still considered a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so churches can go through phases, they can go through different ways and different things come upon them and still be able to be classified as a church of the Lord. But he makes a warning. He said, if you do not repent and return, then I'm going to remove my, and he uses the word candlestick, which means his presence. And so the most dead thing in this world, spiritually to understand, is a church facility and a church body that the Lord has left, and they're just going through the motions of having church. And that's the society, and many times the churches of our day in which we live. And so apathetic and false doctrine, deception, all those things come upon us and bombards us, And so Paul says, because of that, therefore, he tells them here, he says, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Ezekiel chapter number 12 and verse number 1 in the Old Testament says, the word of the Lord also came to me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. And there the Lord in Ezekiel was talking about his people, Israel. And he said to Ezekiel, Son of man, he said, here's where you're living. You're living around the people that are in rebellion against God. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears that they do not hear. They're just going through the motions of being the people of the Lord, for they are a rebellious house. The Bible says in the Old Testament, once again, the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, verse 11 says, but thou refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears. So here the Lord describes his people as pulling away from God and stopping their ears where they could not and would not hear the message. He says they stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as a adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts, hath sent his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came great wrath from the Lord of hosts. They pulled away from truth. They pulled away from the message. And the Bible says they stopped their ears and their hearts became stone. So they would not recognize, they would not accept what God had given them. The Bible says here that these folks that are in our society, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears because of their lust, because of their particular desires. They don't want to be addressed certain things. They just had rather have a productive society and a progressive way of life and just this this gospel that is gives prosperity to everybody. And if you just do everything and you smile and you feel good about yourself, feel good about everybody else, then you're going to be okay and everything's well. And that's the society, that's the world that people live in today that they want to hear. And so they're desiring teachers because their ears are lusting after what they want to hear. The scripture says here they have itching ears. They want to be supplied with what they desire. And it's not real clear here that if it's the teachers or the hearers that have itching ears, I sort of believe it's both parties. They want to hear what each other have to say to each other, pat each other on the back, and everybody feels good. And so that's the world that Paul describes to Timothy. And he says, that's the day that we are living in. These itching ears refer to loving to hear what they want to hear and never being rebuked or reproved, what the scripture says here in verse number 16, that the word of God is for. And so the results of that and the results of these things is a people that are turned unto fables. That's what verse number 4 says. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They will stop their ears. They will not hear. And they are turned from truth to fables. Now the word fable there is a word that means a fiction or a myth. Of course, we all know what a fiction is. Fiction is partly true, maybe partly false. It's just a fictitious story. I used to like to read some fiction, but it's not true. It's just fiction. It's just something to occupy our time. And there's a lot of fiction books that are very popular, and people read certain authors because of their ability to write and their style of writing, and they have a path of telling stories and writing books one after the other, sort of like we watch on TV, those things that are built upon every other every episode is built upon the last one, and you just can't wait till the next one comes up, and you gotta have that next one. And I've got hooked on some of those like some of you have. But it's all fiction. It's not true. And nothing wrong with that is we occupy our time and have those things in our life. But it's certainly wrong when it comes to the Word of God. When we turn our ears from the truth, then we turn them to something that is not true or fiction or false. The word fable also means a myth, and that just simply means a fairy tale. Mother Goose stories and things that have no meaning and no help to us at all. And so when a society and when a world turns their back upon God, turns their back upon the truth of God's word, they're going to listen to someone. Their ears are not going to be deafened to everything. They're going to hear some wind of doctrine out there, and they're looking and searching and grasping for something that will satisfy their soul, and they'll never do it outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, "Why, when we live here, therefore, there's some things we got to do in order to stir our hearts and to help us. The results of turning away are those fables and those fairy tales. They have itching ears. They have lust in their heart. They have religion, but they don't have salvation. A lot of religious people in America tonight. America is probably the most religious country in the world, but America, for the most part, is going to die and go to hell. We have the truth, but we many times have turned our back upon that. And so a sinner will die lost because someone does not tell them truth. It is truth that makes us free. And it's God's word that is truth. It's this scripture, and it does not just say scripture. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Thank God there's profit in the word of the Lord. There's profit in the message. And so we find that when a sinner hears truth, they are presented with something they've never heard before. They're presented with something that's different, and they're presented with something that's true that takes care of the need they have in their life. But society, for the most part, is a society that is without God and lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. When we reject the Word of God, sinners die without the Lord, and saints are destroyed without hearing truth. I'm convinced there's a lot of people tonight that are saved. Many of them are saved in spite of what they've been taught. Many of them are saved in spite of what their churches tell them. They read the Word of God. The Scripture gives them certain things, and they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but their growth is stopped right there. They don't do anything, no more growth. And Paul calls those type of people babes in Christ, and they should be growing just like a child. A Christian is identified as a child of God. A Christian is identified in the beginning of his Christian life or her Christian life. They're identified as babes in Christ. Have to have need and have to have something given to them. They can't take care of themselves. They can't take care of all the things. They don't understand all of it. They've never had that before. And so they must be nurtured by a scripture that is inspired of God. And it must be nurtured by individuals that believe the word of the Lord. And when saints do not hear truth, they literally are destroyed. Their lives become shambles, and their usefulness for the Lord is very lacking. Doesn't mean they're not going to heaven, but they're not going to heaven doing very much for the Lord. And so we find there's so much importance on that word therefore, because we have a scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's enough right there in that one little half a verse or a third of a verse to realize the importance of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration, the breath of God, the movement of God. The Lord spake, the Lord wrote, the Lord gave those messages, and the Lord inspired the different writers of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the prophets of old and the apostles of the New Testament, and those that were not even apostles, but were used of God, and God inspired them. He tells us in the New Testament that holy men of old, days gone by, holy men of old were spoken to by the Holy Spirit. and they were moved by the Spirit of God, and they wrote those things down. And thank God tonight we have a preserved Word of God in front of us that we know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, and what we should follow because of the Scripture. The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Where does knowledge come from? Does it come from the world? There's certain knowledge that the world has. There's certain knowledge that the world has to offer everybody. You go to school to have knowledge. You go to higher education to have more knowledge and to be able to bring that into our life and to articulate it and to be able to do certain things. That's why a doctor can operate on the body, because they have knowledge of what this body is. That's why an engineer has ability to build and to correct things, because they have the knowledge that's been given to them. But I'm talking about knowledge tonight that is more important than any of that knowledge, and it's the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. And here we find Hosea, through the inspiration of God, says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," because it wasn't they didn't have it. It says here, "because thou hast rejected knowledge," then he says, "I will reject thee." So it's important to realize, spiritually speaking, this is the basis, this is the foundation for all of our knowledge. It's not what Dr. So-and-so says. And I have some people that I love to read after, and people I love to watch and listen to, tapes and CDs, and people that have preached messages. I love those things. We've got them here at church. We've got them in our homes, and those are good to have. But the main thing is that is not where all truth comes from. What they are doing, if they are doing correctly and doing right, they are just expounding what they have, truth in the gospel, truth of the Word of God, and expound it to us where we can learn and do and have that knowledge. Therefore, Timothy, because the world is in the condition that it's in, and if it was this bad in Paul's day, I wonder what Paul would write about our day. If Paul would write all these things about the day he lived, just a few years after the Lord, in that first century of Christianity, and these things have already come into the churches, wonder what he would write today. Wonder what God would inspire someone to write today. I don't believe it would be very flowering words. We're in a terrible, terrible condition. But you know what? We fit the mold here that God's already given us. Mankind is the same way. Doesn't matter what century they're in. Doesn't matter what city they're in. Doesn't matter what country they're in. Man is the same way. Mankind is the same, lost without God, needing truth. And so therefore we have truth. And so Paul tells Timothy, "I charge thee." That word "charge" is a very emphatic, strong word. "I charge thee, therefore," because of what you know, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. "I charge thee, therefore." And if you just skip that little, like a parenthesis, that comma there, then you go down to verse number 2, Paul tells him, "Here's what I charge you. Therefore." What's the admonition that Paul gives to Timothy? Number one, very simple, right here in these verses. Number one, first and foremost, preach the word. That's the main thing. You know why churches are in a mess tonight? You know why we was talking about colleges earlier? You know why they've lost their ability to religiously to do what needs to be done? Because they've forgotten to preach the word. They've taken on every form, everything possible, and there are colleges that have been great institutions. There's still a few, but there's been some that's been very influential in lives. I have been influenced, and others have been influenced by colleges and churches that stood for truth, because what did they do? They preached the word. Just whatever the Scripture said. And God called and commanded to preach the Word of God, and we are accountable. It's important, and one of these days we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account of how we proclaim or how we preach the gospel. So the first thing that Paul told Timothy tonight, he says, because what's going on, therefore, preach the word. Now you can make a whole message out of that. These six or seven things here that's in these next two or three verses, every one of them could be a message within itself. So first of all, you preach the word. Proclaim the message. Doesn't do any good if you have it in your heart and nobody else knows about it. Preach the word. Proclaim it every way possible. Then he says, be instant. Be instant. Probably more like to preach it without worry of the consequences. Just don't worry about it. You just preach the Word of God and let God take care of it. Now, we have a problem with that. All of us do. Because we worry about consequences. We worry about our peers. We worry about those around us. We want to make sure that we're not the one that's the oddball. But sometimes it's good maybe to be that, to be so different in this world. So be instant, in season, out of season. It just simply means any time. Every time you have opportunity, preach the word. Every time you have a method or a message, be able to proclaim it, give it to somebody, even if it's just one person. Many, many of the messages that's in our Bible, I know there's some that were given to thousands, but there are many messages more in our scripture than there are not. That's just on a very few people. It's not the crowd that makes the difference. It's the cry of the preacher. It's the message that's proclaimed. And so, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. That means whenever opportunity rises, just preach the word. It may be on the job. It may be at Walmart. It may be at the dollar store. You have opportunity sometime. I'm not talking about preaching a message, but I'm talking about giving somebody the message of the Lord and His love and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells them to preach the word. Then he says, be instant in season, out of season. Then, none of us like this, reprove. We know what reprove is. That means somebody says, no, that's not right. Sometimes we reprove and rebuke. Those are two closely related words that Paul tells Timothy as a preacher that he is to do, to reprove, to admonish or to tell a fault of someone. And we all have faults. We all have our problems. Rebuke, that means to chasten. Titus chapter 2, verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So Titus is telling here that there's a time that we rebuke because of the authority that comes from this book right here, the Word of God. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove. Number four is rebuke. Number five is exhort. What's exhortation? Exhortation is that which helps us to feel better about what we need to do. If someone exhorts you to assume that they encourage you, we need to be encouragers more than discouragers. We need to encourage people that they can serve, that they can love. Exhort is that which is before us to encourage. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us consider one another to provoke. That means we stir it up to provoke unto love and unto good works. So we find here that this exhortation or exhorting is to stir up good works in our life, to encourage some of us to be able to follow the will of God and to be able to follow the message that God has given unto them personally that they need to do for the Lord and that we can serve Him together. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and then there's the word long-suffering. That's the key, I believe, to everything. As it comes to ministry, too many times we're harsh. Too many times we're we're beating when we just need to have long suffering. I thank God the Lord is long suffering to me. The scripture says he's long suffering to usward, and therefore he deals with us over and over and over again with the same thing. Sometimes we tell kids in school, I've told you that 1,000 times. Well, that's part of long suffering. You know, the Lord's told us some things 1,000 times. And he keeps telling us, and he's long suffering with us. And when we see the world as it is, before we get too judgmental upon those folks, we need to understand they're doing their nature, what their nature tells them to do. Their nature is, as a sinner, to follow the world and to follow the world's ways. And so therefore, to correct that, we must preach the word and be long-suffering with them, and to realize that it is sometimes a long process. I read of missionaries that go to mission fields, and they may be there for years before they ever have one person saved. We have some missionaries that are in fields that it'll take a long time for there to be what we would call visible fruit. But God doesn't tell us we have to do that. God tells us to be faithful. He tells us to preach the word. And if we preach the word, God will give the increase in his time. And before we are too judgmental. And I know missionaries sometimes, I read their letters, and sometimes they struggle at trying to tell something good that's happened when there's nothing good that's happened. Because we as churches expect good to happen. It doesn't always happen that way. And sometimes they struggle at trying to make us here in the States say, oh, they're doing something that's worth my dollars that I'm putting into this. I'll tell you what, there's some folks that are working hard and preaching long and doing all the work, and they don't have a lot of good glowing reports. Glowing reports is not what the Lord says we need to have. What God says we need to have is faithfulness. Steward be found faithful. And so long-suffering. And then it says, the last thing here in verse number 2, doctrine. That's just simply teaching. The person that is proclaiming the inspired scripture is proclaiming doctrine. If they're not, then they're not preaching anything, because doctrine just simply means truth. It means teaching. So we must be settled, uncompromising. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. What was true in Paul's day, guess what? It's true in our day. What was right doctrinally 100 years ago is right doctrinally tonight. Where we get mixed up, we're not sure what doctrine we really want to be right on or be sure on. And so we find because the world is in such a sinful state, following after all these traditions of men, having their hearts darkened, ever learning but never coming to truth, all we need to do is therefore preach the word. Because we have the word. We have it because it's inspired of God and it's given to us for correction. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for all the things there in verse 16. Reproof, correction, instruction. That we might be mature, well equipped to preach the message. Not necessarily behind the pulpit, not necessarily in a church. Just preach the message of Jesus and his care and his love for us. So Paul admonishes Timothy, because Paul's getting ready to die. Chapter 4, Paul says, I'm ready to be offered. And that's right after he tells him to do these things. What Paul is trying to do to Timothy and for Timothy is to put what he believes and what he has in his heart on Timothy, so he can just continue on the work. And what we try to do and what others want to do is give it to somebody else so they can continue on the work. The work of Grace Baptist Church tonight goes on all around this world, because those that have come through here are doing what we've done all these years. And thank God for that, and it will continue. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, therefore. All right, let's stand.